What is going on, everyone? Welcome to another exciting episode of the 8-Bit Geek Presents, Divas Dropkicks and Dives Presents, the 8-Bit Xmas Holiday Review.
Presents.
sponsored by Summer's Eve. We'll just go the whole NASCAR route. We'll just, you know, thank every single sponsor that we can think of.
Oh, man, that's going to take all podcast, and that'll be good because we don't have much to say about this piece of shit movie.
Right.
Made us watch.
So this is mine and Kevin's review of, well, a little backstory. We were originally discussing doing Santa Slay, which Bri-Fi hopped on and did. So,
but you did a great job.
Yeah, it was awesome. Yeah, I'm not complaining. It's not that. It was just, it was like, oh shit. Okay, so I've got to find a Christmas movie that has a bit of a wrestling connection to it. And I was like, well, okay, Hulk Hogan had to have done a Christmas movie. So that's what
yeah,
I googled.
Yeah, he did a lot of shit.
Right. So sure enough, I stumbled upon a movie that was free to watch on YouTube, which should have warned me ahead of time, but it didn't. Yeah. But this is Divas Dropkicks and Dives review of Santa with Muscles. Kevin and I have a bit of a conundrum here because these 8-bit Xmas reviews are supposed to run 30 minutes. So we have to fill 30 minutes trying to discuss.
It may not happen. They may just have to live with it.
Right,
really,
right.
Because this movie, it took an hour and a half away from my life that I really want back.
Yeah.
And I wasn't even paying that much attention to it. And I still want that time back.
And Kevin, like, I hate watching bad movies. Watching a bad movie just puts me in a foul mood. Because of that, it's like, that's time of my life I will never get back. Kevin tends to be pretty into, like, bad, entertaining bad movies.
Totally.
But this was
this
not...
because. As I've previously stated, if you're an 8-Bit Geek fan, I've said I'm not a huge fan of Christmas movies. It's just not my thing. Not only is this a bad Christmas movie, but it's just a bad movie in general. Well, and it hurts my soul.
And it's weird because when you say bad Christmas movie, it like it's really a bad Christmas movie. Like I don't – there's not much to the why this is a Christmas flick other than the plot point that – you know, Hulk Hogan thinks he's Santa Claus. Like, outside of that, there's not really anything Christmas-themed to this movie, which we'll, I guess we'll hop right into this.
Well, and the plot from IMDb, or just the tagline, an evil millionaire, Hulk Hogan, believes he is Santa Claus after an accident rends him an amnesiac. What the fuck?
Right.
If that's not a 90s plot line, I don't know what is.
Yeah, and the thing is, this movie was made in 96, but if you watch it, it's just so poor quality, and maybe that's a credit to YouTube's compression, but this looked like something out of the late 80s.
Yeah,
it just
totally
looked
did.
Bad.
Maybe it was made in the late 80s, and it just got shelved until 96, until a company was going bankrupt, and they're like, fuck it, we got nothing else to lose, let's just put this out.
It's possible, except for the fact that Hulk Hogan had hair, and I guess this was the hair plug phase.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
This movie came out November 8th of 1996, which, for you wrestling fans, this was 4 months almost to the day after Hulk Hogan had joined the New World Order.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, for you that are not wrestling fans, this is when Hulk Hogan went from the All-American hero and turned to a bad guy. It actually had some monetary consequences at first, like because he went from being the easily marketable, you know, guy who did vitamins and commercials.
Say your prayers, eat your vitamins, brother.
But there was a brief time after he transitioned to a bad guy, they weren't sure what to do with him. He was doing, like, you know, Thunder in Paradise and doing movies and shit still, but...
Another thing I found out on YouTube, there's like 3 Thunder in Paradise movies.
Yeah.
Where the hell did those come from?
That, man, was that Turner money.
Like, Hulk Hogan, did he have like community service he had to make up or something? Because these movies are horrible, horrible. Not even laughable horrible, but like shitty, shitty effects, shitty everything horrible.
Well, but he's getting paid because, you know, TBS runs that shit.
Yeah,
I'm sure Thunder in Paradise is still running somewhere.
Pasta Mania is running wild somewhere.
So this movie actually came out in theaters.
What?
Yes.
How did they afford that?
It had a,
it had some star power to it.
It did. You know, I mean, of course, Hulk Hogan, again, like if this had come out maybe a year before, I imagine his name would have been, it would have been a bigger deal to put him in like a family friendly movie like this. But for where he was at in his wrestling career, I think, I mean, that's one big excuse we could use for why this movie didn't make a bunch of money, but that's not the primary reason.
Yeah. No,
the cast is actually, I mean, when you read the names, it's kind of like, wow, there were a lot of well-known people in this movie.
Yeah, on paper it looked like at least the cast looked legit for, yeah, especially in the 90s.
Yeah. Don Stark, who played Lenny the Elf,
who, also known as Donna's dad from that 70s
show. Yeah, exactly. A very young and making her film debut Mila Kunis.
There you go. That who, too. Look at that. That 70s show is just getting created.
Yeah, exactly. They knew to take good talent and actually make something with it.
Yeah.
Robin Curtis, who's near and dear to my heart because she played Lieutenant Savick in Star Trek 3 and 4.
Oh, okay. I was wondering, yeah, where she was from. She looked familiar.
Yeah, it's hard to recognize her without the pointy ears. Garrett Morris, who I swear that man was born and looks 75.
Yeah, he's always looked the same.
He just looked old in this movie and he looks old now. I mean, he's always looked the same.
Yeah, he's had that same look no matter what.
And epic everyman hero Clint Howard.
Oh, man, the wrong Howard died.
Right.
Oh, wait. No, wait, they're not dead. Never mind.
Well yeah. I thought you were making a play on the word Ron Howard.
Ron Howard, yeah. That's Ron Howard obviously got the talent in that family.
So we have some That 70 Show lineage and then some Star Trek lineage in there. Man, Clint Howard. Yeah. Like,
you can't say how the mighty have fallen because he's had to get up to fall.
Well, poor Clint. I mean, that's got to be hard when your brother is like this world-renowned actor and director, and you've got to do shit like this to get your name out there.
Yeah, at least he let him be in Apollo 18. That's pretty much. Or was it Apollo 16? Apollo 18 might have been the zombie movie. I don't know. One of those Apollo movies. That was. The one that won awards.
13.
Apollo 13. 13? Okay.
Yeah.
Apollo 18 was the zombie one. That was just completely off the wall. Which he probably was in that too. Who knows?
He's yeah. He's got to be in
House of the Dead with Uwe Boll.
So, man, I don't even know where to start with this movie. I really don't. Don't
forget, by the way, we have Ed Begley Jr.
Yeah, we haven't even got to Ed Begley.
Yeah, trust me. He probably would have been fine if we wouldn't mention him. But since he's in this movie, he's just as much to blame.
And we had an actor, or we had Pierre the Chef, who's played by an actor named Pierre.
That shows the creativity right there.
To me, seems like the most Hogan aspect of the casting was like, we need to name the chef. What's his name? Pierre? All right, fuck it. We'll just go with Pierre.
And I bet he was the real chef on set, too.
Yes, yes.
He just needed an extra role to be filled.
Which, I guess, you just gave out the description of the movie, and they called him an evil millionaire. I mean, Hogan wasn't all that evil, except for the fact that his daily exercise was beating the shit out of his help, yeah, who all had to, like, scream to announce their presence. My wife and I were sitting there watching it, and just it was as Pierre the Chef comes in with his meat tenderizer, and there's just this,
Well, that was like an 80s rumble right there. They always had, like, no one could be silent. You can't sneak up on anyone because you're too busy yelling. That was the rules, apparently.
And you had to prove yourself with, like, just all your kung fu moves before you initiated contact. Oh, shit.
When stuntmen try to act.
Hogan's, I don't know, if you ever listen to Hulk Hogan talk,
yeah,
he has kind of a gravelly, you know, when he's in character. In this movie, like, it was the most white bread voice I've ever heard Hulk Hogan use.
Well, if you ever hear Hulk Hogan talk out of character, he's super, which is hilarious, he's super soft-spoken.
Yeah.
And I find it, once again, unbelievably hilarious that this big fucking beefcake is like, hey, how's it going? How's it going? I'm Terry Bollera, by the way. Nice to meet you. And then, like, all of a sudden he turns into Hulk mode. Like, he just snorted three fucking lines off a hooker's ass. And he's like,
he owes something. I'm mad. Yeah. Me and the Macho Man, we're going to see you at the pay-per-view.
You know,
I mean, so, between that and the buzz cut he had in this movie, like, it, I was like, it's not even him. It's so weird.
It really, you got Terry Bollea in this movie, Terry Bollea or whatever his name is. You got him in the movie. You didn't get Hulk Hogan.
I feel like he was contractually obligated to do this movie somehow. And by the time they got around to it, they're like, fuck, we got to finish this.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it had to be like some kind of community service or something. Mm-hmm. Like, he owed people money or he owed people favors, because there was no way like that. Like, he saw that movie and went like, oh, this was great. This is a great idea.
This was directed by John Murlowski. Did he do anything else? Let's take a look.
Yeah, he ran The Mob.
Oh, shit.
He owed favors to The Mob.
This guy also directed Richie Rich's Christmas Wish. And
never fucking heard of it.
Black Cadillac. Randy Quaid. Once again. So,
Randy Quaid.
Yeah, so this guy has a track record.
Yeah, apparently. He's the Uwe Boll of Christmas movies.
It seems like it. Man, he did some bad movies. He did not stay away from the Christmas movies either. Also did something called A Golden Christmas and Christmas Mail.
Yeah, that's so his claim to fame there. Yeah,
fuck this guy. This movie was just... I don't know. I mean, you know, Ed Begley Jr. is this evil scientist named Ebner Frost, which seems like the most WWE, like, mid-90s name for a villain ever. I mean, I think back to that Stone Cold story where WWE suggested he go by Fang McFrost. Like, that was the first thing I thought of when I heard his name. I was like, son of a bitch, that's terrible.
This movie, especially when I heard Dr. Frost, it made me eye roll so hard I almost fell asleep.
Yeah.
Like, my eyes couldn't roll any harder.
Frost's minions, I guess you could call them, it's something out of like a bad Mega Man boss list. He had Dr. Blight, who was just a molesting, like, rapey-type assistant of some sort. A chemist named Dr. Vile.
Yeah, like, he had his own, like stable of superhuman sorts.
Right. He had was a biologist named Dr. Flint. And I don't know what the electric chick's... Her name was Dr. Watt. But I don't even know. I'm dumbfounded by, like, why the hell he needed to have minions who were named after, like, shitty... obviously, their name ties into their occupation, which That's just how you have to live your life if you're named, you know, Dr. Watt. You have to get into some sort of, you know, electrical profession of some sort.
And I saw right through that shit. They tried pulling that shit with her, calling her Dr. Watt, and she had electricity. And she had that Bride of Frankenstein, like, white streak in her hair. I'm like, I see you. I see what you're doing there. But, man, it was – oh, God. And you're right. It's like, why did they need that? Especially when they were just basically bullying people into selling their land. I don't know why you would need a super – like a superhuman or super mutant stable for that.
Exactly. And I mean, again, there's all if that's the route you're going, you know, there's all sorts of legal proceedings you have to go through. Just kind of scaring people and, you know, potentially blowing up their buildings doesn't really allow you to claim ownership of the land. So apparently underneath this orphanage is this cave full of, like, electrified quartz rock, I think, which led to the shittiest sword battle I've ever seen in film history between Hulk Hogan and Ed Begley Jr. with fighting with, like, these fucking rocks that are sparking as they hit each other with them. Yeah. And apparently their wild swinging ignites all the other rocks in the... You and I have spent the better part of a year criticizing wrestling writers. Having watched this movie, I owe all of them an apology.
No, what happened was they went to the WWE after this was done.
Might have been the case.
Kids probably saw this movie and he's like, oh, this is great. The kids will love it.
Man, this movie. Like, it doesn't... Again, the only real Christmas reference is the fact that Hogan gets amnesia and he's in a Santa costume because he was trying to run away from the police who he just shot at with paintballs early in the movie.
Yeah. And that's where you see Clint Howard for the first time. He's like playing with a speed radar.
Yeah.
And shooting himself with it like an idiot.
And his you know, police officer catchphrase is just screaming "Let's roll" to nobody in particular.
Yeah, yeah, it was. Oh God.
The fact that his car later in the movie got hit with a rocket launcher, and then towards the end of the movie, you just see him driving it.
Yep, continuity at its best.
Oh man, there's. Oh Jesus. Like, I have no words. Like, I was really watching this, and I'm like, where's the Christmas part of this? Other than, you know, there's the mall sequence where Hogan's playing the mall Santa. But, like, after that, there was no snow to be seen through this movie. This is obviously filmed in, like, Southern California.
Yeah, it was California, because you could tell, like, at one point. So, by the way the elf convinces Hogan that he's Santa is by robbing him first.
And then just telling him he's Santa.
And I love that, like, though the whole plot line, at least for the elf, which is Donna's dad, is that, like, he owes somebody money. He owes Dr. Frost money or something like that.
Well, no, it's he just wants – he's a horrible thief, but apparently
– No, at the beginning of the movie, he owes at least the assistant to Dr. Frost.
Oh, you're right. So, you're right. He was having a phone conversation with somebody.
Some kind of gambling debt. And so – he finds, you know, Hulk Hogan laying there and with the wallet, and he looks in the wallet and there's maybe like $150 there. And he's like, I'm rich. My debts are paid off. I'm like, how early in this, like, lifetime is this where $150 basically makes you a millionaire?
Right. And then gets all excited about having, like, somebody else's Visa and MasterCard.
Yeah. Oh my
God. Which again goes into the product placement.
Mm-hmm.
Oh God. Yeah, Lenny the Elf, man. His whole thing through the movie, just trying to steal all of Blake's money, which Hogan played Blake, and comes up to the ATM that has a thumb reader, which I don't remember. I mean, we don't have those now.
Yeah.
Was that a big deal in the 90s? I mean, I was too young to have an ATM card at the time, so I don't, but I can't imagine this.
I mean, that's before my time.
Maybe that's a Southern California thing. They're just all the movie stars over there. You have to have a thumb pad. And then not only that, but he gets his thumbprint off a glass and goes back to the ATM, but it's the wrong thumb, which is like, dude,
he's really persistent.
Where the fuck is the Christmas part of this movie? Like, it's just
the only Christmas part of it was the fact that, like, Hulk Hogan was wearing a Santa costume and he had his little elf with him. That's it.
Yeah.
That's as far as Christmas is going to go in this.
I feel like this was, you know, we joked about this about Die Hard with a Vengeance, where that wasn't originally a Die Hard movie. They just kind of put that on there. I feel like that's what this was. This was just some movie that they felt the need to make it a Christmas movie, so they just threw, like, 5 minutes of Christmas stuff in there.
I don't know, man. Amnesia and to be make him a nice guy, I guess. I don't
know. I don't know. Funny enough, the author, his original draft was changed so much that he sued to have his name removed from the movie, which perfectly makes sense. That's money well spent to try and get away from this. Speaking of money, like I said earlier, this was in theaters. It was in theaters for 2 weeks. You want to take a stab at how much money it made?
Oh, I see how much it made.
Yeah.
I'm looking on Wikipedia, and it's not pretty.
I tried to look for the budget. I couldn't find anything that said the budget of this movie. But this movie, in a 2 week run in theaters, made $220,198. You know it's bad when you can actually count to the dollar how much a movie made in theaters.
It's pretty sad.
So, shit. And, I mean, it didn't have a lot to compete with in November of 96. Jingle All the Way did come out 2 weeks after this. So maybe that's what, you know, everybody only had room.
Saving their money for Arnold.
Right, exactly.
Rightfully so.
Deservedly so. I think the only movie I could find that came out that same week was Set It Off with Queen Latifah and Halle Berry.
That movie was dope.
So, not...
Don't forget, you had your girl Jada Pinkett in it, too.
That's true. So,
You had that really... You had that awesome song from En Vogue in that, man. En Vogue was getting deep. But we're not here to talk about Set It Off.
No, I kind of wish we were, though, because that was probably a more entertaining movie than this. This thing
was so much better than this pile of shit.
This was rough. I was reading yesterday, one critic, comparing it to Jingle All the Way, said that it made Arnold Schwarzenegger look like Laurence Olivier. Which is like, fuck. Oh, man, I don't know. Kevin, did you like anything about this movie?
Absolutely nothing. Like I said, I rolled so much in this because even like Hogan's dialogue was so contrived. It was so bad. Like he just kept calling especially when he, at the beginning, when he's in his jerk phase, he would screw someone over and they'd be like, huh, idiot. Yes. And just like weird shit like that. And, or like when he had the paintball gun, he's like, I like paintball. And it's just like weird little shit like that. And it's like, really? They had someone write a script. Somebody got paid to write this script.
Oh, no. The part where I think the first part that got me was when he jumped out of the Humvee that he was driving. Was it a Humvee or some sort of Jeep or some shit? Yeah. I don't know. But he jumped out of it while it was going. But he was the driver. So
yeah,
just this guy that was the passenger just has to like jump into the driver's seat to save his life. But Hogan's just like, fuck it, I'm gone.
Yeah. He said something stupid. He's like, yeah, I guess there's times to run away. And he just like falls out of the truck. It was so bad.
Shit. I mean, again, we still haven't talked about Ed Begley Jr. who.
And we still have like 28 minutes to go. I mean, really.
It was. Oh, man.
Ed Begley Jr. is normally better at his roles. Like he was really good in Arrested Development. He played Stan Sitwell. And he would play the guy, he had alopecia, where he couldn't grow any body hair, so he had, like, fake eyebrows, fake wig, and everything, and the wind blows, and it loses all of it.
Well, hell, I mean, he's, you know, he had that weird run, because, of course, he was in St. Elsewhere in the mid to late 80s, where he got really big. But he just had this, like, bad run in the early 90s, where he was just in a run of just terrible stuff.
Yeah, he's got his filmography is pretty crazy. I mean, he's done a ton of stuff, but it's unfortunate that like he definitely was collecting a paycheck and not a very big one, I guess, from this one.
Mm-mm.
But he did like Larry Sanders Show. Like he was doing some Columbo stuff, the Pagemaster, you know, Batman Forever. He was in a bunch of others.
I mean, he'd done a bunch of TV stuff. He was on like Star Trek Voyager. He had a brief, you know.
And he did like Batman animated series stuff too. So,
but he also did shit like, I don't know, Adam's Family Reunion's kind of meh, but I mean, I'm trying to see, there was something else.
But he's done enough stuff to where I guess you're going to have some shit roles. And this was definitely one of those shit roles, but he's still doing stuff. I mean, apparently he was in the newest Ghostbusters, which I guess is not saying that much about him. Better Call Saul. He was in that this year. Portlandia. So I mean he's still trucking along.
Keeping himself busy.
Mila Kunis is in this. She's doing pretty well for herself.
Yes. So
it seems like people recovered from this. Not so much.
Yeah, it was not a career killer for really anybody. I mean,
well, Clint Howard, but I like once again, must have a career.
I like Clint Howard. He's not bad. He's just he knows who he is. He knows he's like the ugly little brother.
Oh, man. Well, Ron Howard ain't that cute today either.
No.
He was cute as a kid, and then he got older, and he basically looks like a skinnier Clint Howard.
There's so many plot holes in this movie that don't make sense. There's the twist at the end where they bring up that Hogan and Begley Jr. were in this orphanage together. But then they like immediately drop it. Like it doesn't matter. Like Hogan's laughing after Frost is arrested.
Yeah.
So like here's this supposed to be this touching, heartwarming moment that they have a connection, but nah, it doesn't fucking matter.
Yeah, it was. Oh, God.
I don't know. Yeah, there's. I'm glad this was free to watch because if I'd have paid for it, I'd have been really pissed off. It was just terrible, man. Yeah, I don't know. Kevin, was there anything you liked about this?
You asked me that earlier.
Did I see? I'm just having to come back around. Like it's.
I couldn't find anything really. Yeah. I mean, like I said, it's just one of those movies that maybe in 90s. No, I think even in 96, I would have been like, this is.
No, yeah, boring. it was pretty bad. Like it's not. There's no redeeming qualities to this whatsoever.
Maybe the little girl that writes Santa at the beginning, she's adorable. You know, good for her.
She's a voice actress now too. Her voice hasn't changed at all. So she still gets to use that kind of Tara Strong bubbles type voice and stuff. So,
oh, hello. What was her name? What was her name in the movie?
Her name is.
It wasn't Elizabeth, right?
Yeah, in the movie she was Elizabeth. She was played by Aria Noelle Curzon.
Okay. Yeah, she's done. Yeah, I mean, she did. Apparently, there's a Land Before Time movie in 2016, and she did the voice of Ducky.
Oh, Jesus.
Which everyone loves Ducky. Yeah, she did all the Land Before Times except for the first one because, you know, the original Ducky was murdered. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's something to talk about. That's really bring that one up for our Christmas podcast. Right. Talk about a 5-year-old getting murdered.
Oh, shit, I remember that. You're right. So, yeah, she's a very popular voice actress now. Of course, Garrett Morris, if you need a angry older black guy in your movie, that's what he does nowadays. Man, I don't know, did Don Stark really do anything else besides that 70s show?
No. I mean, he's still doing things, I think, but it's nothing.
No, he's on the Strain.
That
70s
show is definitely his like pinnacle.
Yeah. I guess he was on Marc Maron's show, and then he's now on The Strain. So he's doing well for himself. Yeah, this didn't really kill anybody, but man, at least the director, it should have, because, boy, it was a shit film.
Mm-hmm.
It was just bad. Did I like anything about this movie? No. It's crazy to think how many stars were in this movie for how bad it turned out.
Yeah.
So, what did I dislike? Man, I just disliked the fact that I can't get my time back.
Yep.
It was.
I mean, like I said, I you know, just, yeah, that was such a waste of time. But it was for the greater good of warning you folks who haven't seen it, or people who have seen it, or maybe this might turn you onto it. You're like, I like to punch myself in the dick constantly. So, hey, you know what? I'm going to watch Santa with Muscles.
There, exactly. It's when the movie is called Santa with Muscles, you get what you pay for. I kind of had a feeling going into it. I thought it was just going to be campy, but it's not even campy. It's just plain bad.
Yeah, like I said, somebody owed someone a favor is really what this came down to.
Somebody owed somebody some money, and they didn't collect, and so somebody's dead after making this piece of shit flick.
Yeah.
So
if we can give it a rating, what is our rating?
Man, I give it 0 Christmas ornaments out of 5.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one, man. If there was a negative way, I would go negative.
Maybe 1 cocaine-covered palm tree out of 5. Because that's pretty much the because that would imply there was snow in this film, and there was no snow.
All right. 1 steroid needle out of 5.
There you go. I mean, I guess, you know, Santa did have a fight scene in this that was kind of, maybe that was the best part of the movie. Was
it? How about this? It's Hulk Hogan. Why couldn't we at least seen a big boot or a leg drop in this?
That's true. I'm always a fan of wrestlers using their signature moves in a
movie. Like even The Rock, like rock bottom people as a half scorpion.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure Cena's given an attitude adjustment or two in some of his military movies. He has
You know, so. Stone Cold in Expendables 1, he Stone Cold stunnered somebody.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be hilarious. He Stone Cold stuns him, the head comes off.
I would watch that. This movie, the plot doesn't make any sense. The setting doesn't make any sense. The ending definitely doesn't make any sense because the orphanage imploded in an electrical storm for some weird ass reason.
Kids have no homes. That's cool.
Yeah, exactly. Which that one, Dr. Blight was locked in the cooler in the basement of this building that imploded, and they were still able to get to him. I don't know. Now I'm starting to pick the movie, and there's no reason to do that. Yeah, this movie just sucked so hard. I mean, if you're a glutton for punishment, or if there's somebody that you need to prank and get back at, you can send them to YouTube. And you literally, you just type up Santa with muscles and there it is.
Make this the new Rick Roll.
Exactly. it's a no budget holiday something or another. Like, it just,
yep.
There's no words. I believe that means we have filled our 30-minute requirement of talking about this piece of shit.
Thank God. Just like Hulk Hogan with his, like, community service.
Yeah.
We finally served ours.
This was such a bad time for him. You can tell, like, he had the short hair. He was, like, he was thinner than you were used to seeing Hulk Hogan seeing. I mean, he just looked bad. And I guess he'd been in WCW for almost 2 years at this point, so... But the NWO stuff hadn't taken off for him, so it was just... Ugh. I can't recommend this movie. I just can't. Don't subject anybody to this.
It's punishment in most countries.
Really. It is on various worst Christmas movie ever lists.
I wonder if this is on Pornhub under, like, torture porn.
I'm going to take your word for it. I'm going to let you search that.
Yeah, I'm going to search that. Be right back. Give me about 20 minutes.
There you go.
I'm going to really research this.
Meanwhile, at Kevin's parole hearing.
What the hell kind of trouble can I get into on a porn website? Oh, wait.
Never mind. Yeah. I know you guys did that Santa Claus versus the Martians or some shit recently.
Which wasn't, that made this, that was like War of the Worlds compared to this.
So, but this has appeared on, there was like two or three different like worst Christmas movies lists, and this was behind that. So.
I don't know how it was behind it.
I mean, that had, you know, 30 years back in the 60s, you know, for that excuse. Like, this was just, people knew better. So. Mm-hmm. On that note, I think we're going to get out of here. So
yes, please.
We're going to go pray for some sort of redemption after having watched that garbage pile of a flick. It's, man, you know, I'll tell you this. If you're the kind of person who, like in Kevin's case, Kevin does not like Christmas movies, or if you're just, you hate Christmas movies, watch this, because this will put you in the mood to go watch decent Christmas movies. Or at least it did me. Like, I just, you know, I watched Die Hard again because Kevin and I did the Die Hard review a couple weeks ago. So, like, I watched this and I was like, fuck it, I need to watch a good Christmas movie. So I watched Die Hard, which is a nice segue to say, go back and listen to our review of Die Hard that we did 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, so definitely. That was fun.
That's worthy of your time. This is, I can't think of a good situation to recommend this movie. Not even if you're wanting to hurt somebody. It's just bad. Yeah. So... But we will, like I said, on that note, we're going to get out of here. Appreciate you taking the time to listen to us. If you like our usually more positive perspective on life and wrestling and things, you can listen to Kevin and I. We are on Divas, Dropkicks, and Dives.
Yeah.
Which is our wrestling podcast, and it's amazing. Please check us out. If you want to interact with us, you can find us at our Facebook page. Which is facebook.com/the8bit3d. You can find us on Twitter at the8bit3d. Certainly want to take the chance to thank our sponsors at Audio Boom for hosting us and giving us the chance to get on here and tell you not to watch this movie. If you didn't find us there, you can probably find us on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher Radio, or anywhere else that podcasts are hosted. But you did find us on the 8-Bit Geek channel because we are part of the 8-Bit Geek Network. So definitely tune in to, you know, Rain and Debbie at Brainberry Tarts. We've got 8-Bit Legends, our CW superhero review show. We've got 8-Bit Saga, our new Star Wars D&D podcast. And then the one that started them all, the 8-Bit Geek, which Kevin here is a part of. So they record every Monday night at 8 p.m. Central. You can find them on Twitch. Feel free to join us in the chat there. We have way too much fun while these guys do their thing, so...
Mm-hmm. Thanks.
Good times to be had. It's definitely more valuable spending your time doing that than watching Santa with muscles.
Yeah.
But we were inspired by this movie, so tune in to our wrestling show next week when Kevin and I get hand jobs from a chick with electrified gloves. Later, nerds.